Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. I'm so glad that you are starting your day in a positive way and waking up with me here. And I do want to remind you of our podcast, and please download it and take us with you. We have so many amazing guests that we have had actually over 17 years, and we'd love to share them all with you. First of all, I want to ask you, what about that rain this last week? Oh my gosh, where is California? It never rains in California. And Tom, maybe we could actually, maybe we could play that song. I don't know. But gosh, and a little tornado. I mean, where are we? This has been crazy. Well, I'm so glad that it is a beautiful day. And we've got those beautiful mountain clouds out, and it's a beautiful week. So, again, for anybody that's just starting with us, we are so grateful that you're here. You can stream us at kvta.com, and or you can listen live on 1590 KVTA. And, of course, you tuned in to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim, and I like to always start our show with something uplifting. And today's is, three things in human life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind. The world needs us all to be a little bit kinder. And so if you are out and about today, just share your kindness with somebody. That's what our world needs right now more than anything. So with that, I would like to welcome my first guest, Carol Kretschmann. And of course, she has an exceptional background and a truly visionary in so many ways as an architect in technology, international business, and peacemaking. And in fact, you are only 80 years old and you were just awarded a technology patent. Wow. Carol, welcome. Yeah. And thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to hear your voice. And, you know, as I said earlier, just for a moment, that our paths have crossed for many years.
So, isn't that interesting? Yes, yes. And I want to just share, I didn't add your last name, Carol Sumner Kretschmann. And, of course, you are the author About Face and published by the Three Tomato Book Publishing. Talk to us a little bit about who you are. And again, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, the book is called About Faith because it has to do with over a decade that I spent with my late husband living in China, and that's the People's Republic of China, and building a hotel office apartment complex in downtown Beijing, along with a number of other things that we got ourselves involved with in that early, from the 80s to the 90s when we lived in China.
And incredible.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Dr. Armin Hammer, who was the founder of the Occidental Petroleum Company, an LA person who had come from New York, somehow my father got inveigled in by his accountant to become part of the first 10 investors in Occidental Petroleum. And that went way back to the 50s. And so,
wow.
30 years later, we were invited to join my parents to have a celebration with Dr. Hammer. Because he had been in California now for almost 30 years, and he was the largest oil person in really the world at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided so I, they invited us, my late husband and I, to come to this party and celebrate his 30th anniversary. And we started talking in the reception line about what I was doing at the time, which was to own and develop roller skating rinks, which I did in L.A., called World on Wheels.
Oh, so that's your background, roller skating rinks? Interesting.
Well, as an architect, that was the business that I went into with the Spielman, who had a number of bowling and bowling facilities, and they had a vacant space in Los Angeles in where the where African American kids were. And so we built that. It was very successful. It was there and opened until COVID, and a place for kids of color to come and play. And Dr. Hammer, you know, was said, I'm very interested in what you do with your skating rink, because at that time we were in the ownership of the Ice Capade. And he said, well, it's very interesting. And we had about a 2-second talk, that's what I remember. And I went and sat down with my father and mother, and I said, Armin was so interested in roller skating and boat and ice skating. I don't know, I'm very flattered that he would even know that I was in that business. Many, many people were in that room. And my father said, you know, I love you, my darling only child, and I'm sure he was just being polite. Well, I will tell you, Kim, Monday morning, on my office, I get a telephone call from Occidental Petroleum. And they said, Dr. Hammer would like to see you today. There's a gentleman in from China, and he wants you to meet them. And that was the beginning of the adventure. And over the next 11 years, we lived mostly in China, and we ended up developing and building in a partnership with the Chinese hotel office apartment complex.
Wow, that's incredible. So, Carol, first of all, I want to know a little bit about your technology patent. What was it for? Let's back up a little bit.
Well, the technology patent was to deliver video on your phone without broadband. It's all Wi-Fi enabled, and when Elon Musk puts up one of his satellites, we connect to it. So all over the world, people can connect to through my software with any Wi-Fi enabled broadcast. And we've been waiting to launch this because of COVID. We've been put on back burner, and our partner is Ingram Micro, which is the largest technology company in the world and also owned by some young men who live in Los Angeles, Beverly Hills. So
you were almost like ahead of the time here.
Yes, and I lost the time because of COVID. We were
along with a lot of other people, unfortunately, right?
We were on our way to launch the facility, this technology, and we had two major companies that were going to try it out with us, and they ended up, one made intubators, and the other one made the virus. Pfizer made the serum that we all take to keep us from getting COVID.
Wow.
So I've been on the back burner for 2.5 years. Ingram Micro is now my partner. And it's sort of interesting because it'll take us right back to China, because the Ingram Micro company was owned by the Chinese until they were bought out by the company in Los Angeles about 2 years
okay.
ago.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. How long did you live and work in China? And what was that like? That's an experience all in itself.
Well, we lived at the Beijing Hotel until Tiananmen Square happened. And Armin Hammer gave us his office and moved into a brand new office building. We were there for 12 years in China, wow. In and out of China, doing not only the hotel, but I worked with the fabric companies and got the Vogue magazine to bring in designers from 8 countries. And we had a fashion show. The Hong Kong Chinese sent us a platform and a gazebo that was built specifically for the Queen when she said goodbye to Hong Kong. I mean, that we in technology in China, we worked in a company that was in a southern part of China. But the hotel office apartment complex, which Ramada was our flag, was the main business that we did in China. It took us a number of years to get the contract to be approved to build a hotel office apartment complex. And we were the first mixed use to be there. And it's still there.
Wow. So, Carol, let me ask you a question. What advice would you give to someone who wants to do business in China today?
Be careful.
Yeah, you said that there's a lot of,
hanky panky is a good word that you might read from our generation. They aren't terribly honest and straightforward. That's why they hide behind their face. And that's why the book's called About Face. Because you never quite know if they're telling you the straight story or a story that they just made up in the morning. And you really have to be careful if you're... I haven't been back to China in quite a long time, but I have stayed in touch with people that worked for me and people that we knew. And I was even in the Wuhan lab that created COVID. I didn't know they were creating COVID, but we went to Wuhan to meet some people because we traveled all over China and did different projects that we were asked to do. And after the Tiananmen Square debacle, which was really horrendous, we were living in the Beijing Hotel, which is right across the street from Tiananmen Square. So I had a bird's eye view of these tanks coming down the main street. And the biggest problem that happened because of so many dialects that Chinese is spoken in, that the Beijing people who did not want the army to be down the main street with tanks and guns, but they didn't speak the same language even though they were Chinese. So it was very hard to communicate. And I don't know if you remember, but Ted Turner was there with his camera crew because the head of Russia was coming for the first time to meet with the head of China. Otherwise, none of them. What happened would have photographed.
That is just crazy. This sounds like a movie. And is that something that you might do?
Well, I would like to turn the book into a movie, but the book has now become number one on Amazon. And Barnes & Noble. And Barnes & Noble has this number one for another. And we'll be delivering our books starting the end of April.
Congratulations.
In their stores. And it's a very, this 450 pages tells the story of us building the hotel, but also tells us the backstory of what it's like to deal with the Chinese.
Right, right. And now you also speak to involvement with the Chinese ruthless security agencies, the FBI and the CIA. Talk to us about that.
Well, one thing that happened at the towards the end of our relationship was in China. We had offices that belonged to us and some other folks in the hotel. And I used I never trusted the Chinese totally. And so we had our own office. Ramada had their office, and the Chinese had their office. So there were three offices on the second floor where work was done. And my late husband and I wanted to really try to figure out what was going on. I'll tell you a story in a segue, and
well,
then I'll
when
get
I,
back.
You know, we don't have a lot of time, but what I wanted to say, wow, you have had an amazing life. And what is next for you? That's really what I want to know. We have a couple minutes, and I just want to get what's next for you. And also, I want to find out where our listeners can get your book.
Well, the book is my next. That's what we are doing right now. And you know that balloon that they put up in the sky last month? I am very sure they were just talking to me. I know that sounds weird, but they were talking to me. And then about a week after the balloon, when you know they brought it down, a woman who worked for me, who many, many years ago, she was a young woman. She came from spy school in China, and she was my secretary. And she called me. Now, she's living in Beaumont, or very close to where I live. I didn't even know that. And she called, and she said, I hear you wrote a book. And I said, oh, Shalu, I'm really busy. Let's talk in about 2 weeks. And I hung up the phone with her because I didn't want anybody. And I'm telling you that China is still watching us.
Wow.
So,
incredible.
Very interesting. So the book is going to tell anybody who buys it. It's 450 pages. I know it's long, but it's got a story about what it's like to deal with the Chinese and what we're going to have to learn how to deal with them as this world turns and turns and turns. Because look what's happening now. There's the president of China with Gorbachev and the president of Russia. And that,
to me, is very
scary.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's so much more that we can talk about. And for anybody that's
well, just Kim, tell them to go on Amazon and buy the book. It's only 20 bucks. You have three chances. You can buy just to listen, and that's $9.99. Or you can
have the soft cover is $18.99 and the hard cover $29.99. I love it.
Correct.
And of course, Carol Sumner Kretschmann and her book About Face. Carol, thank you so much for joining us here. Please share our show with everyone, and I'd love to have you back.
Anytime. Anytime.
You got it. Have a great day. Stay well. Thank you.
You too. You too.
All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And of course, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And our next guest is Frank Fornstedt. And we'll be right back.
Got on board a westbound 747.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow. At 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com, or call Kim at 805-620-6000. 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
The Kim Pagano Show is proud to partner with the eWomen Network as they continue to help millions of women entrepreneurs achieve their goal of $1 million in annual revenue. The eWomen Network accelerated events take place the first Wednesday of each month at the beautiful Los Robles Greens in Thousand Oaks. The event will include lunch with wonderful speakers talking about relevant topics for your business and many opportunities to network with potential clients and make connections. Come join the fun and elevate your business. The eWomen Network only requires one lifetime membership fee and a monthly fee to stay active on their website. Come find out how the eWomen Network is different than the other networking groups. Apply now on their website at
eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665. That's eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. My next guest is, and I hope I say this right, Frank, maybe you can help me with your last name, Frank Forensic. Is that correct?
Very good. Yes, Forensic.
Oh, good. I'm like already a little nervous of you because, let's see, not only are you a passionate advocate for the human animal, I've never even heard it that put like that, and functional future. You earned your BA at Stanford University in the human biology, and you have over 30 years of teaching experience in martial arts. You also hold a black belt ranking in karate, and is it Aikido? And has you traveled to Africa? I mean, this is so interesting. And of course, your book is The Enemy is Never Wrong, martial art activism, and the fight for functional future. Talk to us a little bit about who you are and what inspired you. You have many books, but what inspired you to write The Enemy is Never Wrong?
Right. Well, I've been interested in the human body forever, basically, okay. And then studying human biology in college. And I had a professor who told me, you really need to go to Africa if you want to understand the human body and human history. And so that was very inspiring for me to do that. But over the
what
last...
What was your biggest thing that you learned from that? I mean, that's interesting to go to Africa to learn about our body, correct?
Right. And what I was able to see was what people call the ancestral environment. So the environment of human adaptation. This is where we grew up. This is where we evolved. This is where we became human, essentially. And so you can, when you're on the ground, you can see and feel the various forces, natural forces, ecological forces that would affect the human body and human development. So that was sort of the origin story for me. And I was lucky because I was able to go out with some native people, some bushmen, and see how they did their hunting and gathering. And that was very inspiring. It just fired my curiosity about how we came to be who we are.
I love it. Well, welcome, and thank you so much for being here. Also, you are, I guess you used to write for Paleo magazine, correct?
Right, yes. I've had one foot in the paleo movement for a long time.
Yeah,
which is
so is that kind of the way you eat, paleo? Is that correct?
A little bit. I mean, that's a pretty difficult diet to be
right
on. Some of my friends, all they do is meat and vegetables, and that's it. No starches, no bread, no nothing. But that's not exactly my lifestyle.
Okay. I was going to say that's like, living out in the wilderness. That kind of isn't that what paleo is all about?
Well, right. And there are extremists who follow that lifestyle, and that's
right.
Something that's not really available for me because I'm a writer. I have to spend time in my office, and I have to I have to have one foot in the modern world, and that's fine.
I like how you put that, one foot in the modern world.
Right.
I love that. So let me ask you a question. First of all, you've written several books, right? But the fight for a functional future, what does that exactly mean?
Well, we are in extremely serious trouble now with climate change and this ecological emergency. We're looking at the probability of large areas of the planet becoming uninhabitable. And that's what I mean. We're looking for a functional future. And I work with young people now, and they are rightly very concerned, even terrified, that they're not going to have a habitable planet to live on. And they might be forced into migration. They may have experienced famine or water shortages or any number of dislocations. So fighting for some kind of functional future, this is something that we're all going to be engaged in, whether we like it or not.
Wow. I mean, just our weather has changed tremendously all over the world. I mean, our water, we've been short of water. Now we have an abundance of water. Just things have just been so different. And you obviously, that's what you're pertaining to, correct?
Right. Yes. Things are, you might just say, becoming unstable. The climate, the weather is becoming unstable. And this is unprecedented in our history. We've had a long period, the last 10,000 years, of relatively stable climate, and now we're entering a period of radical instability, and things are happening really fast now.
Okay, so talk to us. What can our listeners, what should we be doing and I love that, functional future. How can we achieve that?
Right. Well, the very first thing that I try and do is to normalize activism, because for a long time, that's been seen as kind of an optional lifestyle, an optional choice. And we can no longer live that way. I think everybody has to be an activist in some manner. And that means being engaged with conflict. That means learning how to fight skillfully, and that's the martial art connection. And this is something that's fundamental to being a human being. We can't live without conflict. We can't live without fighting. And yet, we have no education for this at all. I open the book by saying that if you came from a typical family, your mom said, don't fight, and your dad said, don't lose, and that was it. That was the totality of our martial education. And that's a tremendous oversight by our culture. We try to pretend that conflict doesn't exist, or if you just be nice, then you can navigate it. And that's just simply not the case. So we need to train one another how to fight skillfully. And that's where the martial arts come in.
And how long have you been doing martial arts?
Oh, I started just out of college and been pretty consistent for the rest of my life. So 30 to 40 years of training.
And do you have family, children?
I do not have children. However, I do have good stories along that line, because I've spoken with a lot of people, especially mothers who have young children who are difficult to handle. And they say, well, little Johnny has been, he's got ADD or whatever it is. He's running around. He won't listen. And I put him in a karate program. And after 6 months, he learned how to focus. And
yeah, you know what? You do hear that a lot. I mean, and, you know, I remember with my boys, I do agree with that. I mean, they teach them, I guess, those fundamentals, right? I mean, that kind of falls under the fundamentals of fitness. So, and even
right,
when you're out exercising, you clear your brain. It's the best medicine, you know, even taking a walk into the nature is clears your brain. I love that. Yeah.
Right. It brings the body into the process, and the disciplined movement is what changes the brain. So when sensei tells you to bow to the mat and then you put your right foot back and then you punch, you kick, you do these movements on a regular pattern, and that movement forces order on the mind. And that's what's so great for kids and adults as well.
Right, right. So what are we going to be learning in your book and the particular story that you share?
Right. Well, the title of the book, The Enemy Is Never Wrong, this refers to an orientation that we can bring into conflict. So there's a real powerful tendency that we have when we get involved in conflict. We get emotional about it, and we tend to point the finger of blame at the opponent and get all wrapped up in that. And that clouds our vision, and it makes us less skillful in our responses. So going back many years, I had a traditional martial art teacher who reminded us, this is part of his teaching. He said, remember, the enemy is never wrong. So in other words, the enemy just is. And whatever the enemy does, you have to adapt to. And don't get wrapped up in the rightness or wrongness of it. And in the martial art dojo, that's something you learn with your body, but you can also bring that to conflicted relationships, whether it's in the world of romance and families, or whether it's on large scale working with big organizations or in businesses or whatever it is. Just
okay. So hold on, I want to stop you right there. So Frank, in a relationship, talk to us like in those terms.
I know where
this is going, because so you're saying that we're always going to have, you know, conflict. I mean, that, you know, I believe this way, you believe that way. You bring two families together. They come with this set of rituals from their family, what they learned, and you come with another ritual. I always say, like, you know, and then what do we keep? What do we not keep? So when you say that the enemy is always right, so that means that you have a partner, let's just say, that feels this way and you feel this way, but you're saying nobody's right. It's you have to evolve to get the right answer. Is that, please explain that.
Right. Well, it's an orientation that allows a little bit of space in the relationship. And this is a common theme in the world of therapy. And I think a lot of therapists would agree that this is a good approach, because you take your emotional reaction to your partner or your family or whatever it is, and you kind of set it aside for a while and say, okay, this is what I've got. You take the breath, you take some time, and you reassess, and you say, okay, this is the raw material for me to work with. And I don't need to overreact. I don't need to get emotional about it. You might even take an artistic point of view and just say, okay, this conflict, these ideas and attitudes of these other people, that's my raw material. And I can work with that now if I can just relax.
Yeah, so you feel the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like you would in like black belt or in when you're working with karate or
right.
You feel the emotion, but you don't act on it.
Right. And again, these opponents that we have in a martial arts studio, they can surprise you. And this happens all the time. And it's particularly the case when you're working with beginners, because they don't know the rules and they don't really know how they're supposed to attack somebody. And so you get surprised all the time. And over the years of training, you get better and better at handling these surprises. And
it really helps you in life. And I mean, unfortunately, you hear of so many people, I hate to say this, being attacked walking down, you know, the street or at even a shopping center. And so you should almost be being aware of life around you, correct?
Right. And this, you know, connects with the Buddhist tradition and a lot of Eastern disciplines, including mindfulness and being aware. It's a common theme. And all I've done in the book is kind of recast it into a new perspective that includes activism.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Great. So, again, what's one lesson that we're going to learn from your book, and where do we find your book?
A lot of the book is about asking the right questions about conflict and fighting and activism. And this is, again, about stepping back a little bit and being reflective about what we do. And the problem here is that a lot of people are getting pulled into activism in the modern world, and we have no training for it. So the book is encouraging people to lay the groundwork for how they might be a more skillful activist. And the book is available. It's all over the place. My website is exuberantanimal.com, but it's on Amazon and every other place too.
Okay. And my last question is, what do you hope that the reader, owner, facilitator will take away from your book? And what actions do you think people can take as a positive impact in their world?
The emphasis should always be on skill. And this is something that, since we are largely untrained and we have this, you might say, a planet of 8 billion white belts, if you can kind of reshape your identity into being a skillful fighter, then you can make some real progress, and it can really help your relationships with the world at large. So that's what I hope people will take away from the book.
I love it. I think in our unpredicted world right now, this is a great, this will give you some great skills and really help you on a day-to-day basis, even with your physical and your mental health, correct?
I hope so, yeah. All that stuff's related, and it could benefit you in any number of ways, whatever domain people happen to live in. So,
there you go. I love it. All right. Well, again, download our podcast, share our show with everyone, and thank you for being here, Frank.
All right. I really enjoyed it.
You got it. All right. Take care. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And, of course, if you are just listening right now, joining us, our next guest is Norman Thatcher. And, of course, he's been on several times. And, of course, I guess we kind of got a little theme going on here. But he's the owner and facilitator of TNT Anger Management. And we'll be right back.
It's a beautiful morning.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow, at 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, some interesting guests coming on. And of course, I am excited to have Norman Thatcher. He's the owner, facilitator of TNT Anger Management. And Norman, welcome. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Kim. It's always a joy to talk to you.
Well, thank you. And again, talk to us a little bit. I just want our listeners to kind of know a little bit more about anger management and, of course, how they can get in touch with you. And if they know anybody that needs this, including themselves, that it's strictly confidential, and how, you know, a little bit about your services.
Well, sure. I guess the first thing to understand is, as we all know, anger is a normal emotion, so it's nothing to be embarrassed about or, you know, calling to get information about, because we all have it. Usually 90% of the problem is the reaction, how people react to their anger or stress is usually what gets them in trouble or identifies them wanting to make a change. So basically what they would do is call me at 818-264-6255. We'll set up a consultation time and go over the history and situation of what one's going through and go from there.
Yeah. And, you know, how long have you been doing this?
I've been in private practice for 16 years, and I've been in mental health nursing for over 30 years.
Right, right. And in our time, has it ever been this crazy? Does it feel like it's gotten so, I mean, people have some definitely built up anger going on, correct?
You know, just looking at the past history of what's gone in the world over the last 2 years, obviously between the pandemic, just the numbering growth of people, you know, being in the world right now, it's just a lot of stress. And I think it's actually at an all-time high. I had a client yesterday that was telling me about a road rage incident in New York. I categorize it legally as an attempted murder over a parking place.
Yeah. I mean, talk to us about that. You sent that to me, and it still blows my mind when I think of this, right? So it was over a parking space, and a couple hit. So a man with a baseball bat, and then the guy went back and stabbed him 5 times. That's insane. This is insane.
Yeah.
Insanity that is happening now. And it's not out of, you know, I mean, it's the normal. I mean, you hear about it. Look at our poor kids at school. And, you know, I mean, even going down to L.A., it just seems scary.
Yeah, I think people are just not using coping skills and just emotional, rational, common sense intelligence. I think specifically because of being in a car and feeling isolated, like you're the only one on the road, I think has a lot to do with it. And there's so many other distractions now. We didn't have cell phones 20 years ago. That's also a big play in some of these incidents. I did a show with you previously, and I mentioned that 70% of Californians do admit they have some kind of a weapon in their car at all times. So, you know, think about, you know, this New York incident. This isn't just a California thing. This is a nationwide thing. And it's becoming very concerning because you can just flip on any Facebook or any news in any article and you're going to get tons of road rage incidents. And, you know, like I'm calling these potential, murder victims.
Right. So Norman, and for anybody that's just waking up with us again, we're talking with Norman Thatcher. He's the owner facilitator of TNT Anger Management. His phone number that you can call is 818-264-6255. What induces road rage? And how does that reaction, you know, really the justification of anger?
Well, I think the road rage title is actually the ending product of what could have been prevented in my thinking. So most of the time when we think of road rage, of what the ending product is, such as the incident in New York yesterday, but there are some steps you can take at the beginning of your day. So as basic as it sounds, getting sleep, 6 to 8 hours a day, first step. Second step is plan your day, plan your travels. Most of us are in a rush, even if it's 2 minutes and we catch an extra 2 minute red light. That just puts our mind at a kind of in a panic state. It's like, okay, now I have to, you know, make up 2 minutes somewhere. And it just snowballs from there. And I think a lot of these incidents could be hopefully decreased or stopped if people would just have a little bit more time to, you know, get to their destination and really look at their own self driving and how they think when they're driving. I mean, are they driving aggressively? Are they the perpetrators, when these road rage incidents are happening? So there are methods and things that people can do even before the end result. Obviously, we would never want to happen of getting out and getting a fight over a parking spot and having to hit with a baseball bat.
Yeah, Norman, I mean, first of all, over a parking space, do you think it's got to be something? It's not the parking space, of course, correct? It's something that happened in his life, or, you know, this was just like the last, you know, as they say, what, that broke the back, the camel that broke the back, right? I mean, it's the last thing that just,
I think ultimately, it, you know, with anger and why anger is can be so explosive, it's just it's a control issue of, hey, I'm going to fight literally somebody to get this win, whether it's as small as a parking place or, you know, getting to the red light first. I've had people pass me just to get to the red light first. And it's like, okay, you go to the red light first.
Yeah,
good
go
for
right
you.
Ahead. Yeah. And so do you think any of these are related to drugs and alcohol? What's your thought on that?
I think there's a percentage to it. With certain drugs being legalized now, I think it's just becoming a daily routine that people do certain, drugs that are, it's legal in California, so I'm going to do it. And then it might pair their driving, which obviously makes a national safety hazard for, people being on the road. If you want to do recreational stuff in your own home and be safe, hey, that's your thing. But when you're involving millions of people and drivers in the United States and worldwide, that's where it becomes a problem. Now you're getting other people involved, which is not okay.
Right. When you're seeing your clients, and I know it's all private, is there, I mean, are they premeditating, you know, these thoughts, or, you know, what's your feel for, you know, just what's going on in our world?
I think the last end result, like we talked about, was the reaction of, okay, what all this caused. So with somebody at the end of these incidents, okay, this was the end result, and that's why there's a problem. I don't think they would plan out to go out and I'm going to go out and do road rage today. I think it's just their impulsivity is just they lose their common sense ability to make a rational decision. So when I do get calls, the interventions and practices I help people put in place is for them to, like I said, the simplistic things, take an extra 5 minutes to get to work. Look at these things that, hey, maybe I should try these meditation steps before I get in the car. I wouldn't suggest meditating while you're driving, but there are things that people can do prior to doing other things. So they're making, you know, the best decisions that they can make for the safety of themselves.
Right. And even leaving earlier, right? I remember, you know, when I was younger, I was always just like that couple minutes late. And so now it's like, oh, okay, how much time do I need to get there? I want to enjoy my ride. And then if you had a situation that, you know, it's not your goal to get that only parking spot, you know, I remember there was somebody that I saw on Facebook, and they said that somebody honked at them when they were, you know, backing out. And so they said, oh, well, I have all the time in the world. I'll just stay here. And, you know, what's that going to do? And it just induces another, you know, rage, correct?
Correct. And if I have a second to tell just a quick story, I just got off the phone with my daughter. She lives in Sacramento, and we were just talking randomly, and she says, you know, Dad, the road rage up here is so crazy. People just don't respect us up here. And it was like, oh my gosh, okay, so this is what I was going to come and talk to Kim on the radio about.
Yeah.
She just fell right into the category. So when she first started learning how to drive, it was exciting to her, and she was driving, and she said, oh, look at the community, and, you know, look at who our neighbors are. And she was very calm, and then she left for about a month and had her mom help her with her driving. And then I came back a month later, and she was like, look at that, people cut me off. Look at what he did. I can't even make a right turn here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened to my little girl? She used to be so calm. And I said, Dad, it's the people. Look at how they're driving. And I'm like, you know, yeah, you're right, because there were a couple people that did, you know, kind of cut her off. But I was trying to teach her, well, you know, you have to be a defensive driver nowadays. It's all about protecting yourself.
You know, Norman, that's really funny, because my oldest daughter, I remember driving with her, and I'm like, are you going to slow down? No, it's my right away. I was like, oh my gosh. Could you imagine if everybody drove like that? And I said, honey, you have to do your part to, like, you know, it's almost like you see somebody that you let them in front of you in line. You know, what happened to all of that? That's how we need to live our life. And it's funny, because that's really what I just started our show with, which goes in line with it, is the world needs us to be kinder. Kinder on the road, kinder in the stores, kinder in our relationships, kinder in our life, you know, kinder in the hospitals. I mean, everywhere, if you can just be a little bit kinder, you wouldn't have all these anger, you know, and you know, all this stuff happening on our roads. And so I think that is so important, and the rage would take a notch down. So, correct?
Yeah, so I think that's really important to get somebody to look at themselves and say, hey, this is what I'm going to take responsibility for. And, you know, there's other, you know, scenarios, like, are you impatient in the bank line and somebody's taking, you know, an extra 3 minutes to count out their coins to make a deposit or something? And that's kind of one of our, you know, self-assessing questions. Do you just not have patience for things that are possibly slowing you down? We're always in this rush mode that, you know, people in life now are just, everything is just fast and move. And it's not like the 60s and 70s where things were a lot slower and less people and more time to spend with others and not just, you know, kind of, okay, I have 2 minutes to literally talk to you, where before people would sit around at a dinner table and have conversations. It just seems like it's not like that anymore.
This is so true. It's probably because, one, 24/7, we have our internet, we get instant gratification, and it's too bad because we need to slow our world down. So, Norman, always a pleasure to talk with you. Again, give out your website, your phone number. You always bring such great stuff to my show, and thank you for being here.
Of course, thank you. Anytime, Kim. I hope people are listening to just take some self-reflection for themselves and be safe while you're driving. Again, my phone number is 818-264-6255, and my website's www.tntams.com.
You got it. All right. Well, thank you so much. And of course, again, Norman Thatcher, TNT Anger Management. We are at the end of our show, Norman. And, I'm going to have you stay on with us and hear the moment of happiness. You create your own opportunities. And if you can change the way you drive, the way you react, the way you do your life will be so much better, and so will all of others around us. So again, thank you so much for being here. It might seem-